Welcome to the KICC Malawi podcast. We pray that you'll be encouraged with the message today.
We continue with Don't Be Afraid, part 3. I'll be finishing next week with part 4. But today, I want us to look at another part of the story that we've been looking at. So I want us to turn our Bibles to the book of Numbers, chapter 14. And I want you to open your Bible because we are going to read together. Numbers, chapter 14. And we are going to read together. If you find it, say amen. Numbers 14. 1, 2, 3, go. Let's read it together. I'll be reading from New King James Version, but you can read in your version of the Bible. Let's go. 1, 2, 3, go. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness, why has the Lord brought us out to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he'll bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me? With all the signs which I have performed among them, I'll strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them. And I'll make of you a nation greater and mightier than they. And Moses said to the Lord, then the Egyptians will hear it, for by your might you brought these people up from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. They have heard that you, Lord, are among these people, that you, Lord, are seen face to face, and your cloud stands above them. And you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and in a pillar of fire by night. Now, if you kill these people as one man, then the nations which have heard of your name will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring these people to the land which he swore to give them, therefore he killed them in the wilderness. And now I pray, let the power of my Lord be great, just as you have spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but by he no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. Pardon the iniquity of these people, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy, just as you have forgiven these people from Egypt even until now. Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word, but truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because of all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have put me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and he has followed me fully, I'll bring him into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valley. Tomorrow, turn and move out into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I've heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness. All of you who were numbered according to your entire number, from 20 years old and above, except for Caleb the son of Jephunne and Joshua the son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore I'd make you dwell in. But your little ones, whom you said would be victims, I'll bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and your sons shall be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years, and bear the brunt of your infidelity until your carcasses are consumed in the wilderness. According to the number of the days in which you spied out the land, 40 days, for each day you shall bear your guilt 1 year, namely 40 years, and you shall know my rejection. I, the Lord, have spoken this. I will surely do so to all this evil congregation who are gathered together against me in this wilderness. They shall be consumed and they shall die. Now the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land, who returned and made all the congregation complain against him by bringing a bad report of the land, those very men who brought the evil report about the land died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunne remained alive of the men who went to spy out the land. Then Moses told these words to all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And they arose early in the morning and went up to the top of the mountain, saying, here we are, and we will go up to the place where the Lord has promised, for we have sinned. And Moses said, now, why do you transgress the command of the Lord? For this will not succeed. Do not go up, lest you be defeated by your enemies. For the Lord is not among you. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and you shall fall by the sword, because you have turned away from the Lord, and the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go up to the mountaintop. Nevertheless, neither the ark of the covenant of the Lord nor Moses departed from the camp. Then the Amalekites and the Canaanites who dwell in that mountain came down and attacked them and drove them back as far as Homer. Wow. Hallelujah. So they come back in Numbers chapter 13 and they give their report. And they conclude, we went, we saw. The land is good. But two things. We saw the children of Anak. And when we were before them, we were like grasshoppers before them. And actually they concluded also that we too were like grasshoppers before them. And upon giving that report, the whole congregation goes into crying. And the Bible tells us they wept all night. But they become wise all of a sudden and make a decision. We're going to dump Moses. We're going to choose a new leader, and we're going to return to Egypt. I would like to say this morning that returning to Egypt wouldn't have been any easier than going to the land and conquer the Canaanites. Four things. Going back to Egypt would have meant four things. Number one, it would have meant them going back through the desert with no cloud to cover them or lead them. And I would like to say, as we begin our service today, as we carry on with this message, never do anything in life without the covering of the Lord and the leading of the Lord. Hallelujah. Never ever do that. God was not going to go with them back. They were going to go on their own. Never do things that the Lord has not mandated you to do, because you are going to be on your own. And it is not going to end well. Number two, there was going to be no manna to feed them. But they had to go through the desert one more time. And for sure, they were not going to survive it. Because in the desert, there was no food. All along, God had shown them, I am the Lord who provides. Not just that they wouldn't have no manna, but also there would be no water to drink. So there was going to be no water to quench their thirst. And fourthly, they were going to go, if they were going to succeed in all these three things I've pointed out and make it back to Egypt, but upon arrival in Egypt, they were going to face a people who were so angry with them. Because remember, Pharaoh and his army and all the other people had died in the Red Sea. And the Egyptians were still recovering from the plagues they had gone through, including the death of the firstborn of Egypt. I can conclude this morning, returning to Egypt would not have solved their problems. Hallelujah. So I would like to give you a story so that you can understand. There was a turning point in my life, and this turning point in my life was probably one of the biggest mistakes I've made in my life. But it became a turning point in my life. It has shaped a lot of the things I do today. And just like the children of Israel were going to go back into slavery, it was going to be deep slavery, deeper than ever before. So I'm going to share with this story, not because I'm proud of it, but I just want you to know that Pastor is a human being. I started having girlfriends when I was in primary school, before I went to secondary school. And then I went to college. Mimi's already laughing. Maybe I'm serious. Look at me, I'm very serious. So I went to college. And first day in college, I went into a relationship. It didn't end well. Most committed suicide because of that. But immediately, I remembered my last girlfriend in primary school. So I decided that I was going to look for her, because at least maybe she understood me better. And I went on a search. So I had heard that she was working in a shop called Show Rub in those days. I went to the shop and she wasn't there. But I decided, no, I'm going to go back to Egypt, I think. But remember, this is a relationship I had before I came to Christ. The one that had collapsed and collapsed so badly was when I got born again. So I decided, I think it's better I go back to Egypt. Even though she is not born again, even though she doesn't know the Lord, I think it's better I go back there. I would have missed out on Dr. Melda, and I would have missed out on everything else that the Lord has done in my life. I don't even know how my life would have ended. The end of the story is that I never managed to find her. In life, you are going to go through trials. In life, you're going to go through persecutions. In life, you're going to go through disappointments. In life, you're going to go through betrayals. In life, you're going to go through discouragements. In life,
You're going to go through things you never anticipated and never planned that you would go through them. But the word this morning is that there is no wisdom in you to go back to the world. Because if you go back to the world, life will not become easier. Amen? In the book of Matthew, chapter 13, in verse 1 to 9, the Bible talks about the parable of the sower. But my focus is going to be on verse 5 and verse 6. Because in verse 5, the Bible says, as the sower went out to sow, some of the seed fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of the earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Church, you need depth. Hallelujah. You need depth. You on your own, you really need depth in the Lord. In verse 20, Jesus gives the definition of the parable, and he said, but he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and he immediately receives it with joy. And there are many times when we receive the word of the Lord, we receive it with joy. We feel like things are going to happen there and then. And we're going to walk in this land of milk and honey. But then the Bible says in verse 21, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Immediately he stumbles. Because of persecution, because you trusted God, you took God on his word, and things begin to happen, and then immediately you stumble. God never promises us that we'll never go through the fire. Actually, we will go through the fire. But he says the fire will not burn us. It will not scorch us. He does not promise that we'll not go through the waters. He says you will go through the waters, but the waters are not going to sweep you over. Hallelujah. He does not promise that we'll not go through trouble. He says actually you'll go through trouble. Jesus says it in John 16:33. He says in this world you will go through trouble. But be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. That's why you need depth. Hallelujah. In the book of Hebrews, the writer of the Hebrews was writing to this group of Jewish believers who were about to give up on their walk with God. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. I'll begin from verse 7. It says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath. May God never swear in his wrath concerning you. Hallelujah. And he says, I swore in my wrath that they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? Now, with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Hallelujah. They couldn't enter in because of what? Unbelief. And that verse is...
You and I, when you come to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, it says, we need perseverance. We need what? Perseverance. We need perseverance. However, perseverance is not automatic. Hallelujah. It requires a fight of faith against difficult adversaries. From the day you were born, the devil has not even one single day wished you well. From the day you were born. So you have to persevere in faith to overcome strong temptations of unbelief. Today, I'm going to dwell so much on unbelief and what unbelief does. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 7 to 8, God appears to Moses in the burning bush and he speaks to Moses. And this is what he speaks to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, verse 7 to 8. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. For I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. And when they come back in Numbers chapter 13, 27 to 29, the report actually confirms what God had already spoken in Exodus chapter 3. They came back and said, the land is vast. The land is very large. The land, and every detail they came and gave to Moses as a report confirms what God had already spoken about in Exodus chapter 3. However, rather than believing God's promise by going into the land to fight, they focused on the giants and rejected God's promise. And a lot of us, from time to time, we reject the promises of God. I'm going to talk about four things today. Number one, to persevere in faith, you must realize that unbelief is a terrible sin. If I was going to ask all of us and say, please, can you name sins that you know of in the world? We're going to mention adultery, we're going to mention fornication, we're going to mention stealing, we are going to mention lying, we are going to mention all sorts, but very, very likely, none of us, very likely, would mention unbelief. And yet, unbelief is a terrible sin because unbelief is the root of all sins. Unbelief is the root of all sins, and it goes hand in hand with its cousin called pride. They go together. Pride doesn't believe that God's word says we are sinners. Pride doesn't believe that. And pride doesn't believe that as sinners we can't save ourselves. Pride doesn't believe that. Pride doesn't believe that salvation is only in Jesus Christ and no one else. Pride doesn't believe that. Pride believes that you and I can save ourselves by our own good works. Good works are good. That's why they are called good. But you can be a very, very good man. But if you do not know the Lord, your goodness is not going to save you. Hallelujah. Your goodness is not going to save you. And that unbelief has condemned
millions of people to eternity in hell. Millions. Unbelief is behind all the sins. And it takes the same bet that Satan used with Eve in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. When the devil appeared to Eve in Genesis 3, verse 1, he said these words. Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And belief questions God's word. And belief questions God's word. And belief says, has indeed God said that whatever you sow, you will reap? And belief questions that. And belief will tell you that you can enjoy some sins and immediately says, and God will forgive you. And belief doesn't tell you that your sin will find you out. And belief doesn't tell you that in Numbers 32. It doesn't tell you that. The nature of sin is very interesting because the nature of sin is such that whether or not other people discover your sin will discover you. Because you can never in life escape the consequences of sin. They come and discover you. But unbelief will tell you, no one will find out. No one will know. You can get away with this and you can cover it and you can do everything under the sun. But one day is one day. And sometimes in our vernacular, we say, la forte lima wana. So then when the 40th day has come, everything comes out. The sin comes and find you out. Every time we don't believe God, we sin. Amen? So I want us to go to Mark. Because there's a very interesting story in Mark. I've seen, as I was reading about it today, a few things came up to my mind. I'm not dwelling so much on it. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately, when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, what are you discussing with them? Then one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. Fact. Hallelujah. I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. Canaanite number one. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He dies. He foams at the mouth. He bites. Gnashes his teeth. The sons of Anak. And becomes rigid. Fact. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? The same question he asks in Numbers chapter 14. How long shall I bear with you? Same question he is asking in Numbers chapter 14. Bring him to me. Then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit conversed to him and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. And this is in the presence of Jesus. This is in the presence of Jesus, as if to say, Lord, what I was telling you, you thought I was faking it. No, I was not faking it. It truly happens. And there's something very interesting. That when all this happens, Jesus asks a question. And here is the question. Verse 21. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? How long has it been happening to him? How long have you had this condition in your life? For how long has it been like this? And he said, from childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Because he was busy fighting at this point in time, the forming, the gnashing of teeth, the becoming of rigid, that has even happened in the face of Jesus. There are some things that will happen in your life that will try to defy the authority of God in your life. And it will seem as if God is powerless. Hallelujah. When you have prayed and you've done everything else and you still go through the fire. When you have prayed and done everything else and you were praying and they said, in this place, we are going to let other people go. And you were praying, you said, Lord, I've given tithe. Lord, I've done everything right. And God, I am praying when the retrenchment comes, I'm not going to be among it. And you fast and you pray and you are the first one to receive the letter. You're the first, not the last. You are the very first person they deliver the letter to and they say, it's been a great joy working with you. You prayed about everything. You pray and you cry before the Lord and say, Lord, we are interceding. And there are things, I'm not going to tell you the things. There are things we have gone into fasting about. We have prayed about. We have cried before the Lord about. And the opposite of what we were not expecting is what happens. You begin to question God. And unbelief can begin to creep in. It begins to come in. You begin to come in and go like, maybe God lied. Maybe God did not mean what he said in his word. Maybe he meant something else different and not what I have been believing all this time. And belief comes and he says, has indeed God said that he will strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner man? And belief questions that. And belief says, has indeed God said that he will give you rest when you come to him and that the burden he's giving you is light. And yet you find the walk we have of faith so tough. Before we came to Christ, life seemed to be a bit more easier. And you come to the Lord, things don't just happen until you fast. And you say, we were eating, we were partying, we were having fun. And things were just happening. And we come to this Jesus and you tell us fast. And you even say 30 days. And after we have fasted for you 30 days, nothing happens. Has indeed God said that coming to him you find rest. You look at your life, it looks like all hell has broken loose after you came to Christ than before you came to Christ. You pray for your child, and the child, the more you pray, the more they become wayward. You pray for your husband, the more you pray, the more they become wayward. The day you fasted and prayed, that's the day they come back and beat you. And you begin to question God. Did you really mean what you said? Because it looks like after I came to you, it's trouble after trouble after trouble. And unbelief comes and says, did God indeed say that he will do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond what you can think or imagine? You look at everything else you've been imagining in your life about what God can do in your life. It's as if everything is going north or south. It's as if God couldn't see. And unbelief comes in. God, unbelief tells you, did God really say that he will restore the ears that the canker worm has eaten, the chewing locust has eaten, the flying locust has eaten? Did indeed God say that you not suffer shame? And you look at your life and it looks like as if there is no restoration happening in your life. You look at everything. It's as if I mean I'm abanga my decision all our week and business in Dinunok. Because everything you try to do doesn't work. And unbelief begins to say, did really God say? Did really God say that everything you lost, He is going to give it back to you? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Did He really say that? And belief comes and says, did indeed God say that He will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory? Because that morning you wake up, you check in the food bar, there's no Uber. You go and check Ndio, there's no Ndio. You go and check everything else in the house, there's nothing. And the kids are telling you, we are hungry, daddy. We are hungry, mommy. And you come to church and pastor says, give. You feel like inserting the pastor. Because did God indeed say? That's what unbelief says. Did God say He will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory? You look at the figures, you look at the budget, and the best thing that comes out is a deficit and not a surplus. The last time you enjoyed a surplus is 19 in Kalikari. But every time you it's as if you have to scratch. And you begin to say, "Come if you don't go kukoma." And belief comes. And belief questions you and say, "Did God say that everything will work for your good? Did God say that? Did God say that He will not fail you or abandon you? Because at that point you feel like you've been abandoned. Did God really say that He will protect you? Because you have done everything. You have done everything as far as protection is concerned. And it looks like there is no covering of God over your life." And somebody comes and says, "Something is easy. It's nothing that you have to say." We have tried everything. We have fasted. We have prayed. We have given. We've done everything that the Bible says we should. And if it's not working, then it makes sense. Let's go. Did God really say that He will give you freedom from sin? Because you find that sin that is like a thorn in the flesh troubles you to this day. You are a believer. You walk with God. And there's this thing, you have fasted, you prayed, you still struggle with it. And you begin to say, did God really say? Did God really say that nothing can separate you from Him? Did God really say, did really God promise you eternal life? Do you know there are believers who question whether they are saved or not? Did God really say that when you give a tithe, He will open the windows of heaven and begin to pour for you a blessing that there will not be room enough for you to receive it? Did He really say it? Did He really say that when you give, He will give you back good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, men who give to your bosom and you have never seen a man? Did He really say? And when things begin to happen like that, unbelief creeps in, and unbelief is a dangerous sin because unbelief is deceptive. But unbelief spreads so easily and so quickly, and it plays on people's fears. That's what happens in Numbers chapter 14, verse 22. And Joshua, in Joshua 21, 45, later he tells the children of Israel, he says, "None, not a single word of all the promises the Lord had given to the family of Israel was left unfulfilled. Everything He had spoken came true." Today I want you to understand this one thing. Everything God has said concerning your life and the purposes of God concerning your life, whether the devil likes it or not, they will come to pass. But you need to believe God. Hallelujah. You need to believe God. You need to believe God through thick and thin. You need to believe God. Because unbelief, the unbelief of the 10 spies, when they came back and presented their report, in true sense, it was cowardice disguised as being practical. Sometimes you say, let's be practical, Pastor, here. Let's be practical. Because everything they were saying sounded as a voice of sanity, and their unbelief quickly spread out throughout all the camp. Sometimes when somebody is telling you what the word of God says, and he's saying, you need to do this because God's word says so, it looks like they're very being impractical. They are being very unreasonable and as if they're stupid. And you actually can tell them, unbelief. Unbelief is so blasphemous. It's a blasphemous sin because it rejects God's salvation and it accuses God of cruelty, deception, and weakness. When you look in Numbers chapter 14:3, I want you to just see what they're saying. Numbers chapter 14, verse 3. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? All they are saying is that the Lord, as far as we have known him, he is a cruel God, he is a deceptive God, he is a weak God. We went, we saw. When we saw the children of Anak and we compare it with God, God is weaker than the children of Anak. Because on that basis, we think that God has come and he is saying that we should be finished off by these people. He is a cruel God. He deceived us. Adio and other things were better in Egypt than this thing. And there are many times we do that. There are many times we accuse God of deception. We accuse God of cruelty. We accuse God of betrayal. We accuse God of being weak. We accuse God of being less powerful than the godless idolaters that we see in the world. When you read the Psalm of Asaph, I think it's Psalm 77, if I'm not wrong. I want you to turn with me there. I think it's Psalm 77. If it's not the one, then I'm sorry. Psalm. Yeah. Look, here's Jeremiah one time. In Jeremiah chapter 20, I'm not going to go there. But let's look at Psalm of Asaph. It says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, to God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. In the day of my trouble, I saw the Lord. My hand was stretched. Am I in there? Yes. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. That means he had a night of prayer. Hallelujah. He prayed all night. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. You hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I've considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes diligent speech. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Has his mercy ceased forever? Has his promise failed forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his tender mercies? And I said, this is my anguish, but I'll remember the ears of my right hand of the Lord. I'll remember the works of the Lord. And surely I'll remember your wonders of old. I'll also meditate on all your work, the talk of your deeds. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Why is so great a God as our God? You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the peoples. You have your arm redeemed. You have with your arm redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob. That's not the one I was looking for, though. Because he said, I started asking about somewhat. But it's the Psalm of Asaph as well. But he said, until I went into the house of the Lord. 73? Samson, thanks so much, Pastor. Okay.
Okay, yeah, Psalm 73. This one. Truly God is good. God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearest slipped. For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes burge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly against oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore his people return there, and waters of a full cup are drained by them. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I had said I would speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. The only place you will find answers to your issues is in the sanctuary of God. Since I almost slipped. I almost left the faith. And I'm not surprised this day when I hear people, so-and-so has left Christianity, so-and-so has backslidden, so-and-so has gone back. I'm not surprised. Hallelujah. But it starts with what? Unbelief. And to accuse God of cruelty because of our trials, to accuse him of deception because his promises are not fitting our expectations, to accuse him of weakness because he is not answering our prayers is blasphemy. Hallelujah. It's blasphemy to accuse him. To accuse him and say, we have prayed, we have done everything else. You are not doing it. You deceived us. I remember one time in church, I had told people, I said, church, I want us to trust God. I want us to give to the Lord. Everybody, please make a commitment for a tithe. Even if you are not working, make a commitment for a tithe. Make sure you fulfill this tithe within this period of time. And if God doesn't do anything over this period of time, we will give you a receipt and you come back to us within this period of time and we're going to return all the money back to you because God would have lied to you. As soon as I finished preaching that message, somebody walked over to me and lambasted. And I said, we will all walk in it, but you have no part in it. And true, we walk in it, and they have no part in it. Because their unbelief questioned the word that came on that day. Number two, to persevere in faith, you must resist the temptation to go along with a majority opinion in the world and even sometimes in the church. There are people in church that are going to question everything that comes from the pulpit. Everything that comes from the word of God, they will question it. Faith in God and his promises is often not the popular view. When we begin to walk by faith, it's not popular view. It's not by public demand. It's not by what the people are saying. It's by what God is saying. To trust God, you must stand against the prevailing unbelief. To trust God. For instance, one popular view right now, more than unbelief, and it's so sad. It's creeped into the church. Modern unbelief says being gay is not sin. It's just the way you were born. That you were born to marry a man even though you are a man. And you were born to marry a woman even though you were a woman. And you can still believe in Jesus and practice homosexuality. That's modern day unbelief. And it's in the church.
And it's being taught to our children in school. And our children, all of a sudden, they are walking away from God. They are believing that if you are a man and you have desires for a man, it's normal. Therefore, you can marry a man. And sad enough, even some people who say they serve God, I'm not going to mention names, they have stood on the pulpit and defended that. But when you check, they ate something. Somebody gave them some money and said, you need to champion this cause. And when they speak, it makes a lot of sense. And everything in it is against God's word. Unbelief questions the authority of God. The majority opinion today, and the church goes with it, it's come to the point whereby the church is endorsing this madness that you are free to explore different genders or a combination of genders. To the point that now you receive some emails and the people say, she, her. I say, this madness, this nonsense, where has it come from? She, her. He, his. He, him. Have we come to the point, have we walked away from God so far that we have to declare whatever? And I remember one time when I wanted to go into politics. I met a guy in London. And they promised me to expand my campaign. But they needed to understand my stand on the issues. And where we parted ways was on this. And the guy was very, very rich. So we'll find your campaign. But it happened. So then what? It's a way people are born. Know exactly how to campaign. I went nowhere.
People have an agenda. And when people speak, they can convince you the way we say, God helps those who help themselves. They can convince you that.
Somebody else came to our office the other day and stole a laptop. Because they were going through hard time. And they came to our floor at the office, found out there weren't people in an office, in the boardroom, they stole a laptop. And for them, it was God who had answered that prayer. Because now, finally, they stole the laptop, they could go sell it, they'll go and buy food and provide for the family. Unfortunately, they were caught.
Issue of your sin. There's nothing you do under the sun that will never be found out. It will be.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And persevering faith takes God at His word. Umakanga dwa misala. Umakanga diga dzuoche. Umakanga dimutu wako suku dosa, suku koka. And believe when you take God at His word, because when God takes His word, I used to have terrible ulcers. I could not eat rice. I was surviving on porridge, sometimes milk. And I went through it for years. One day I meet this man of God, and he says, okay, you come over to my house. So I went to his house. And he says, tell me, when did this problem start? I explained everything. He says, I'm going to pray for you. After I pray for you, I'll prepare food for you and you'll eat. And I'm like, okay. So he lays hands on me. He prepares the food. He says, eat. And immediately unbelief says, are you sure? And I ate and I felt pain. But that's the day I started eating.
And to this day, I eat anything. You can take a stone and create and prepare some gravy, whatever. I'll eat the gravy. I'll put the stone in my mouth. I'll go, mwah, 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 mwah. I'll take it out. I'll be fine. And that was my healing. That was my healing. I had to take God at His word. I had to take Him at His word. When it's so bleak, when it's so dark, when it looks like nothing will come out, everything you look, it looks like a hand of man in a very, very far, there are no clouds. It looks like there will be no rain. One day we were praying in KICC Malawi, and the rains had delayed. And the Lord has spoken to us. He says, tomorrow, rain will come. We came the following day. We looked into the skies. It was blue. We appeared at church in Area 5. It was blue. We continued to pray. As we were in the middle of prayer, it started raining. The Lord will never, ever, any of His promises go unfulfilled. He watches over His word to perform it. But unbelief has duped us. You look at your money, you think it can't happen. It will happen. It will happen. And we need to be very careful, because sometimes we receive exactly as our mouth declared. God tells them, He says, because your mouth said so, so shall it be. That's why sometimes when I've run out of words, I don't know what to say. I just say it is well. It is well. And people don't understand. I say that because I don't know what to say. I am as confused as you are. And possibly I could start crying. But I say it is well. Because I know the Lord will do what He says He will do. I say it is well. It is well. It is well. I'm going through tough stuff. I'm blessed and highly favored. You look at me, there's nothing that looks like favor. Oh, nothing. I'm blessed and highly favored. And people say, awasawa. Amen? But as your mouth declares, so shall it be. Number three, to persevere in faith, you must resist the temptation to exaggerate your problems and to minimize God's power to keep His promises. You must do that. What happens with problems is this. Problems have a way of growing when you are not trusting in God. Say amen. Problems have a way of growing when you are not trusting God. And I'm not creating things. I'm telling you things that you look at everything. It just looks like nothing is going to work out. The 10 spies came back and they maximized the problems of taking the promised land and minimize the power of God to keep His promises. Their view, which prevailed, was this. Let's play it safe and go back to Egypt. Let's play it safe and go back to Egypt. It's going to be okay. And it prevailed. And unbelief, that's what it does. The more meditation, if I want to teach you about meditation today, it's not about close your eyes, lift your arms, and say, The more you think about a thing, that's meditation. That's meditation. You can just begin to think, Abu Sa'id is meditation. And I'm to abide. That's meditation. That's meditation. That's meditation. And somebody actually was saying that whatever a person says when they are angry, they haven't just said it. They have just been lacking an opportunity for them to say it. That's meditation. And you can take the very same thing and go like, God, you've been with me since single good of somebody. But when I look at the total sum of money, you have proved yourself faithful. Right now, this situation looks like it's out of hand. And God, I will not lie, it looks like it's getting out of hand. But when I compare this to your promises and your power, because you did it before, you can do it today. Because you did it in the life of Pastor Sun, and I'm even more handsome. God, you do it. Which is not right anyway.
Because you just miss God along the way.
Hallelujah. The meditation is simple. As long as you take time and begin to think about it more and more and more.
That's meditation.
You can take scripture and think about it.
Number four.
To persevere in faith. Look at the facts, but put them in perspective of God's promises and power. Hallelujah. Look at the facts. Look at the facts. Don't deny the facts. Joshua and Caleb saw the same giants as the 10 spies had seen. But Joshua and Caleb, when they saw the giants, they saw them from the perspective of God's promise to Israel that he will give them the land. Hallelujah. I've had a few testimonies in church in recent weeks. These have been amazing testimonies. So we have had brothers who have gone for interviews. And after they went for interviews, the people they were competing with in the interviews were much more qualified than them. But eventually, they are the ones who were given a job. Now, if they had not gone for the interview, they were not going to get the job. You understand what I'm saying? If they had gone to the interview and then they meet, sometimes these interviewers, Ndaji Bongwe, ama kuika ni murumu, nonsense hai mods, de mamba kujes. Da na mamba wa ineo, da kuranjito ku Kazakhstan, Azerbaijan, Mongolia, and your face looks like Mongo. And by the time you are walking into the interview, you are like, they have already taken the Mongo guy. They have taken the Kazakhstan guy. They have taken the Azerbaijan guy. They have taken that person. And it's not going to... Me, I have failed. And you go there, you feel like, Mungo ni vera chisoni. Think about me, please. There's a Mongo guy coming. Don't consider him. You go and face the giants. You go and face the giants. Some of you already look defeated on your face even before we talk. Hey, this situation has been there. Where's God? Hallelujah. Look at the facts. Don't deny. Hallelujah. Because when God decides to favor you, nobody can withhold that favor. Nobody can withhold that favor. God is going to do it. Hallelujah. He is going to do it. But sometimes we look at our qualifications. As I think somebody has sung that even certificate yaubati zama tokule mbiranchito these days. If God decides. And I told them, God, brothers, go. Perform them. Show them you come from taking territories, raising champions. You are a champion. Go. Go and conquer. Hallelujah. But sometimes look at the facts, but look at them in line with God's power and God's promises, because this far God had kept his promise for Israel. He took them through the Exodus. They had already fought the Amalekites, I showed you last week, and they had defeated. Hallelujah. And they came. But the 10 spies presented their findings as objective facts. Not everything that sounds objective is objective. Hallelujah. When they presented it, it was like this unbiased appeal to common sense. People tell you, use common sense, man. There's nothing much more common sense than faith, than the word of God. You will suffer defeat. I'll talk about that next week. You will suffer defeat. You will fail. It doesn't mean that you will not fail. You will fail. Hallelujah. That's how we grow. That's how we grow. We fail in life and we grow. But I'll talk about it next week. I don't want to start about it. So you look at all those. They are facts. And after they presented facts, they said, these are the facts. You can now draw conclusions on your own. There are people who have a habit like that whereby they will tell you everything else and they will not tell you, say, so I advise. They'll say, these are the facts, you can draw the conclusions. To begin anything in your life without fairly facing its risks and the difficulties is lack of wisdom and recklessness. You need to be able to look at that. Look at the facts. But also, to only look at the facts is also recklessness. Because it's a precursor of defeat. But when you are on the side of God's command, and on the other side are these woeful discouragements, then it's more than recklessness when you ignore the God's command, because now it becomes a sin. Look at the facts. The 10 spies and Josh and Caleb had the same experience and same facts. The 10 interpreted the facts through their unbelief. The 2 interpreted the facts through faith in God's promises and the power of God to keep his promises. All of us, we face the same choice when we encounter giants in the land. I read yesterday, 2 days ago in the newspaper, and they said that inflation is 24.9%. It's a fact. But the God we serve, who owns silver and gold, how he's going to provide, I don't know. Right now, I've become crazy that I'm going to say, to speak to Nebuchadnezzar and say, Nebuchadnezzar, you know what? Yes, the fiery furnace may be hot. I'm not denying. I can even see the fire burning. I'm not denying. But the God whom I serve is able to save me from that fiery furnace. And if today, for the first time, he will choose that he will not save me from that fiery furnace, I'll still not die. That's death. That's death. That's death. To say we are not denying the facts. We know the facts are like that. But if God has said that we have to go through this, which is what I'll go through next week, that there are some things that in order for you to get to where God is taking you to, you have to go through them. But you'll be tempted to go and look for the primary school girlfriend. You have to go through them. Hallelujah. And you are all over Facebook. Some of you are all over Facebook looking for the sweet love of the past when there was nothing sweet about it. Just because things don't seem to be working out. Look at the facts and then look at God. And tell yourself, are the giants going to eat me or am I going to eat them by persevering faith in God's promise and in his power? That's why Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You need to believe God. Hallelujah. You need to believe God. You have to commit your mission with the eyes of faith, not with the mentality of grasshoppers. Because the mentality of grasshoppers leads to unbelief. You can be standing on the vine, as I said last week, and be busy eating leaves when the grapes are there. We have been duped in our walk with God in a lot of things that God could have done in our lives because we don't believe. And you know, sometimes when I'm telling you these things, I say, let's do this as a church. Let's do that as a church. It's not that I'm not seeing what is happening out there. I know. And if you ask me and I tell you my story, you feel sorry. You say, If we didn't walk by faith, we wouldn't be here. By now, we would have been still looking for places for rent in town. We wouldn't be in this place. For those of you that are new here, when we moved here, there was no fence, there was nothing. It was bare ground. And the tents were falling on us. We're putting Malasha here. And one time, the tent we were using, when they came to pick it up, it fell off. And people store it, and we have never found it to this day. Until one of our sisters came and donated our tent and said, you be using this tent. That's the one we still use today. That's not a KICC tent, too. Somebody, it had to take tent is stolen for God to speak to someone else and say, donate tent. And we're crying. Why has tent been stolen? I want to bless you with a better tent than the one you had. If I made it, I'd get a tent here. There wouldn't be this. There wouldn't be the fence. There wouldn't be the gate. There wouldn't be any of these things. And the people to do those things is us. Hallelujah. The Lord will come through for us. Please avoid unbelief. Just because... Sometimes sound as if you are crazy. That's always be done. Trust me. I want to hear everybody pray. I don't know what you are facing right now. I want you to say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Hallelujah.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. Our prayer is that God has spoken to your heart. Be blessed in this week.